He writes, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, Jesus Christ, who will come again in glory and all his holy angels with him. Amen. God has caused all scripture to be written for our learning. We now turn our attention to that inspired vision given to the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.'" This is God's word. Let us pray. O Almighty God, as we consider this heavenly vision, so lead, guide, and guard our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear brethren in Christ, brothers and sisters of God's heavenly family, it almost sounds like a comic book, doesn't it? An epic battle of cosmic proportions, angels, a dragon, forces of good and evil. Sometimes we talk about the Bible in those terms. We think it's only a child's story, something from a picture book. And Satan would have it no other way. Satan wants us to think this is a mere myth. He doesn't want you to think about the evil forces that are at work in your life, and he also doesn't want you to think about the good that's fighting for you behind the scenes. The word apocalypse means an unveiling. What we have before us is an unveiling. It unveils a heavenly picture. We find what we confess in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. For the believers, there's much more than meets the eye. There is a hidden hope, a concealed confidence, a good that has yet to be revealed in your life. We enter into the Word of God for this apocalyptic vision, an unveiling of what God is working in heaven. Behind the scenes, there's something fighting, something conquering. For all we have around us that would make us downcast, we see now a reason to be lifted up. For Satan has been cast down. Three times it's repeated. Cast out. He was cast to the earth. That accuser has been cast down. Dear brethren, don't be downcast, for Satan has been cast down. We unveil this image, John's portrait, before our eyes. Maybe you've been to the store one time or another and you've seen those pictures that are supposed to be three-dimensional. If you're like me, you've stared at them for a long time and everybody else can see what's going on, but you can never quite see what everyone else is seeing. It's supposed to rise off the page so you can get a glimpse of what this artist was trying to portray. What we have in the text is something that you can see, something that rises out of the page to show you God's workings behind the scenes. You see unveiled an epic scene, and where does it all begin? A fallen angel. All Satan ever wanted was to be like God. He was not content with his place in the divine order, the script God had written for him, and so somewhere, somehow, the Bible doesn't say exactly when, Satan rebelled. He surmised that victory could be gained, and he would prove it. The way he would prove it would be to bring God's creation under his control. If he could get all of creation to come under his control and the work of evil, he could somehow, he supposed, prove he was greater than God. He accuses them day and night before God. And we rightly deserve to be accused. How dark is our past? How fallen are those moments in our life, in our mind, that keep popping up, that keep accusing us? God would not settle for this. He would not settle for you to be downcast. He would not settle for his creation to be fallen and leave it to the hands of the evil angels. He would pursue the downcast sinner all the way from heaven to earth, all the way from spirit to flesh, all the way from birth to death. He would pursue you. Satan would find this to be his last hope. He was, in fact, a good tactician. Satan surmised a scheme where he would find God most vulnerable. When God would become flesh, he would be in his weakest moment, a child, a mortal, just like you and me, someone who could die. Satan would wage and rage. This battle would be fierce. John writes that this is the purpose why the Son of God was made known to us, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He could have called down 12 legions of angels in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he didn't. In every way he had to be like you, flesh and blood. In every way he had to be tempted like you, and yet without sin. Hebrews 4. Jesus would face that most vulnerable position of all, with his hands lifted up, pierced through, forsaken by God. He would be accused for your sins and for my sins there on the cross, and yet in that most vulnerable moment, he would show the greatest strength. There, his blood would be the price for your worst sins and every accusation that Satan could ever throw at you. Jesus, the chosen one, the Christ, was anointed to fulfill God's victory through this sacrifice. Satan would be raging and waging and yet not prevailing. As you gaze into that image, you begin to see it truly take shape. The contours, the outline, it's rising off the page, and there you see it right in the center, the Lamb. Yes, he's slain, but he lives. And his blood cleanses you from all sin. It rises right out of the pages of Scripture itself, right out of the tomb, to be a living Christ, here to give you the good news, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. As we see the heavenly strokes that painted this picture, we begin to see that it's much more than a comic book. It deals with very real things, sin and pain and death. As we view this picture, we see Christ emerging in victory, and we begin to notice all these sub-themes to this piece. We zoom in to see in closer detail what's going on. We observe a heavenly host. We observe Michael, a chief angel, as he's called, standing by while Satan is falling down. We see Satan rebelling and Michael being loyal. While the evil angels followed Satan, the good angels would stand fast with Michael. You can turn to the book of Jude. It's only one chapter long and read about some of this. As Jude writes, the evil angels did not keep their place of authority, but they left their dwelling. No longer was there a place for them in heaven. Their place would now be confined to earth and the evil that they can bring. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. The dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Once Christ had arisen and ascended to his throne, it was confirmed that Michael and his angels were on the right side, that God had proven himself victorious, and those who remained loyal were given authority to throw Satan out. You can think of the angels as enforcing God's decree. God is in control of all things. These are not the wars of gods underneath him, but rather it is the good angels carrying out his authority, casting out that great dragon and bringing this victory to you. Don't be downcast, for Satan has been cast down. He's been cast down as a frustrated tyrant. He's like a terrorist, a dictator of the worst degree who's found himself defeated, and yet all he has to do now is to work his worst to bring you with him, to bring as many as he can into this defeat. We see the portrait change perspectives now. No longer are we just looking at heaven, but we're looking at Satan falling. And where is his gaze? Where are his eyes and his attention directed? It's toward earth. It's toward you. Should we fear? After all, how can we prevail against this great dragon? With all the sinful lures at his disposal, how can we prevail? How can a young man prevail who is addicted to pornography? How can one prevail when the media and the TV are bombarded, propagating and promoting sin and temptation in a more acceptable way? How can a married couple prevail when they never see eye to eye? When the world tells them that they need to find happiness for the individual. Stress and the distractions of life have hardly allowed them a chance to just sit down and get to know each other. How can a son without a father prevail? A mother without a husband prevail? Bombarded with responsibilities that neither of them can handle. Far more than they could ever hope to take on, who's going to hold that firm hand in the family? Yes, it can leave us quite downcast. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This has silenced Satan. He can't bring those accusations of your past against you. You are forgiven. The blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony have cast him down so that he cannot come against you. He has no place here. It's as if this painting is bleeding life, because that sacrifice, that Lamb, has brought to you a new life, a new heart, a new future, and Satan has no control over it. For here's where it all comes together in the Word. This testimony has painted you into the story. You might say a fourth dimension has been added. You see Christ rising out of the pages, and in Christ, you, the fourth dimension. His uplifted hands are no longer on the cross, but they're lifting you up beyond the bite of the roaring lion who seeks to devour. He'll growl, he'll scratch, he'll rage, but you are above it all. We can't touch you. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Yes, you see the angels unveiled, not just in heaven, but here on earth. They're behind the scenes. They're God's secret ops, carrying out his divine orders to protect you day by day as you go to work, as you travel abroad, as you face difficult choices and difficult situations. Yes, this image has come to life. It's no longer a stagnant color slapped on a page. It's living. It's shaped in this congregation. We're not here to do battle. We're here because this is the place where we proclaim the victory. The battle is when you go back. The battle is in your life. This portrait is a matter now of you on the front lines and seeing it come to life. The portrait comes to life as that married couple prevails. They begin to see that the center to marriage is repentance and forgiveness that gathers around Christ for guidance. They begin to set aside a little bit of time to talk to each other, to overcome their differences, and to not let evil get between them. This victory, this life, this portrait is seen again when that young man prevails over his addiction, when he cries out for help in the blood of the Lamb, when he comes to a family or a friend and they're ready to help him with his problem. It's seen yet again when that son, that mother prevails, even without a father, even without a husband, for he has given his angels charge over them to keep them. When it's all overwhelming, when it seems nothing is prevailing for good, by faith Satan is cast down. So rejoice. Rejoice with the heavens. Together with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, you are painted into something that's moving, that's waging, that's even touching you. Even unto death, the devil cannot take you. Rather than dying while living, you're living while dying. Jesus said to his disciples, "I was seeing Satan fall." Wherever Christ is present, in the Word or in the flesh, Satan is being cast down. Wherever that word of the gospel is being proclaimed for the forgiveness of sins, Satan is cast down. He may climb and scratch, but there's boundaries that he just cannot cross, for they've been inscribed in the cross. Bring your struggles, your tragedies, those weaknesses that plague you, to this spiritual portrait, and see Christ rise and declare victory. As Martin Luther penned, "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they cannot overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. Amen.